place. You don't put a novice in a position of authority lest he be lifted up with pride and so falls under the condemnation of Satan. In other words, when people are lifted up and placed in higher offices, there is a tendency in the human nature that Satan can exploit it, and pride comes into it, and then, you know, you get into serious trouble. So before God lifts a person up, he must be sure that he has established in the DNA of that person humility and meekness. And I must tell you the gospel truth. Apostle Joshua Selman is a humble man. All right? I've seen him in meetings. I mean Kenyans are here. All right. I've seen him in meetings in Kenya. The type of respect and honor that they accord him. If they give some people that kind of honor and respect, what they will be preaching, all right, you yourself will be afraid. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. I woke up this morning and I was looking through my phone and I saw a text message from him thanking me for the honor of inviting, a display of reality. You understand what I'm saying? No sense of entitlement, no sense of, you understand this? No sense of, it's almost like you have honored me by inviting me for this meeting. And he's a minister that if you invite for a meeting, you get a huge response from the public. So you could have not just said, some other person will be telling you that it is them, and it's because they came. You understand? That's the attitude you get from them. And so, God is using him, if your spiritual eyes are open, is using him not just in the messages that he's preaching, but in his lifestyle, God is actually showing a new order of things in ministry on the continent of Africa through him. Let's rise to our feet as we welcome Apostle Joshua Selman.
Hallelujah. Covenant Nation, Happy New Year. It's a joy to meet again, and I know that your life will never be the same. In the name of Jesus. Pastor Poju, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate you and your dear wife. Let's give him a big God bless you for the honor and the privilege that has been accorded me to bring God's word. I believe that this conference was put together for the sake of someone's destiny here, and that in the name of Jesus Christ, that which God intended for you from the loins of prophecy, may it find expression even in the course of this conference. Is someone shouting a believer's amen? Lift your hands in 1 minute and ask him to speak to us again.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Faithful is the Lamb. Faithful is the Lamb. Faithful is the Lamb that was slain. Praise him, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Father, give me an encounter this afternoon. Someone is praying. Give me an encounter. The Bible says they go from strength to strength. as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. Is someone praying? Shabratike baranto sabrege di beleka paratusiata. Give me an encounter. Appear unto me by your word. Let my faith be strengthened. Let me command results. Let me step into a realm of exploits. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. May the Lord bless you. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, before I left Abuja this morning, I was just thinking to myself on the power that ministers of the gospel have in literally shaping the destinies and the spiritual understanding of people. Hallelujah. That God has granted such grace that people become loyal to anything and almost everything you say, including a lie. That you literally can use words to redefine the course of a man's life. You can use words to even alter prophecy. Hallelujah. It's easy to correct false prophecy. If you prophesy a lie, all I need to know is just the truth. Or be tired of waiting for it and it doesn't come to pass and I just turn my face. But once you encounter false teaching, it has programmed your mind to move to a direction that it will only take the mercy of God to turn you back. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so the Bible says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, Jeremiah 3:15, and that they will serve you, they will feed you with knowledge, and they will feed you with understanding. Let me recall a statement that I would always say, that God's method has always been His word. Please lend me your attention. God's method has always been and will always be His word. His method to lift by His word. His method to transform by His word. His method to heal by His word. His method to deliver by His word. That means any result you ever obtain or attempt to obtain that has to be routed out of the word of God. Number one, it will not come to pass. Number two, if it does come to pass, there will be a consequence that will degenerate your life. John 1 and verse 3. The Bible says all things were made by Him, and without Him, outside of Him, outside of the word, was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. I want to share a few contemplations with us, and I'm trusting that God will grant us grace. I came for this conference with a burden, hoping to really, by the Spirit of God, provide accuracy in spiritual understanding and to bring us to a realm of mastery in understanding the subject of faith, the subject of exploits, and the subject of power. May God grant us grace in Jesus' name. I'll be starting this morning or this afternoon session with a topic that I titled Fully Persuaded. Fully Persuaded. Romans chapter 4 and verse 21. May the Lord bless His word in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 4. In fact, let's start from verse 19. Then we'll stop at 21. The Bible says, and be not weak in faith. The he being Abraham. He considered not his body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21. Hallelujah. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Let me prophesy over someone already that in the name of Jesus, everything God told you by his word, in the name that is above all names, this year you will watch it manifest one by one. Are there receivers in this house? I'm speaking to someone who has the faith to receive that the things that God told you through your pastor, the things that God told you in the secret place, in the name of Jesus, the grace for performance is released on that word. Amen. Shout a believing amen. Amen. Please be seated. To start off, let me say this, that every believer in Christ is ordained for an extraordinary life. Very simple but profound truth. When it has to do with living an extraordinary life, God did not select certain individuals and then decided to adorn them with His glory, with His grace at the expense of others. When it has to do with the manifestation of the glory of God, it is the inheritance of all saints. Are we learning now? It's important for us to have this orientation. That in as much as we find other people excelling in ministry, perhaps more than others, excelling in business, perhaps more than others, that difference was not God's design. You will be learning. It is God's design that everyone in Christ, every saint in light, that we rise and we excel. Are we together? And I hope you know, let me remind you, that when we bear fruit, it is the only way God is glorified upon the earth. The Bible says in John chapter 15 from verse 8, I always like to quote this scripture. It says, herein is our Father glorified, that when ye, Joshua Selman, when ye, everyone here gathered, when you bear much fruit, it says, so shall you be my disciples. In other words, your fruitfulness validates the fact that you were taught well. Are we together now? When you go to verse 16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. It's an ordination. It's not a suggestion. Are we together now? Meaning there is a space for you in destiny as far as rising to God's expectation is concerned. And it says that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, when you read from verse 10, it says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Say good works. One more time, shout it, say good works. Unto good works which God had before preordained that we should walk in them. So it is every believer's destiny in Christ to excel and to glorify Jesus through your life, through your exploits, through your results. In the name of Jesus. In John chapter 2 and verse 10, the first miracle that occurred in Cana of Galilee. And the Bible says that the rulers now were commenting, having taken the wine, and it tasted better than all others. It said, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse. It says, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11. Then it says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, help me, and manifested forth His glory. And manifested forth His glory. That means every time God desires to see His glory manifested in the earth, He will invest grace upon the saints and empower them to demonstrate the God life in such a manner that will compel all and sundry to know that there is a God above. I pray for you that the kind of results your life will begin to command from after this conference, it will compel believers and unbelievers alike to glorify the Lord. Amen. If you're with me, shout amen. Amen. Now let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I'd like to read from verse 1 to 10, but my verse of emphasis begins from verse 7. I want us to take a case study as I establish my thoughts that will run throughout the course of my session in this conference. Acts chapter 6, let's begin from verse 1. The Bible says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration, right? We are reading verse 2. Then the Bible says, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God. Listen carefully, and serve tables. Verse 3. It says, wherefore, brethren,
Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Next verse, please. The Bible says, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Take note now. They chose Stephen. Why the Bible decided to start with this man and seem to isolate this man is a very interesting observation. Please keep that scripture there. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip, nothing more about Philip, and the remaining people, nothing more was said about them. They were part of the seven that were chosen. But the Bible seemed to isolate one man. Are we together? And give us an information that among these seven that were chosen, there was one who was worthy of note. The Bible starts with him and it says, that man is Stephen, not because he was the tallest, not because he was the finest. At least the Bible does not give us that detail. It says that he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, go to verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8, please. Read it as loud as you can. Ready? One, two, read. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Hold on. One more time. And Stephen. Please read one last time. Uh-huh. This our Stephen again. The Bible says he was full of faith and power. And as a result, he did great wonders. I hope you know that his ordination was to serve tables. But the Bible says there was a quality that he possessed that would not allow him to be that limited. He was not ordained to be a preacher. He was ordained to be in the welfare department. But the Bible already pre-informed us that in that selection, there was a man who was selected that the investment of the Spirit and the sacrifice he had made would forbid him from remaining in that position. A man, Stephen, full of faith and power. Please give it to us. Verse 8 now. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. I like the Bible. It shows you results and then it tells you what led to those results. It tells us here that the basis for the results and the exploits that Stephen commanded, a man that did not have any title supposedly, but provided he was full of faith and full of power. Someone say faith. Shout it again. Say faith. Say power. Say faith. Say power. This is very instructive. Stephen was full of faith and power. Now let's read the last verse and then I begin to establish a few things. The Bible says, we're reading to 10, you know, and certain people in the synagogue, the Libertines, the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, the Bible says they began to dispute with Stephen. Verse 10. Read it again if you're a Christian. Ready? One, two, go. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit. This was an extraordinary man. So the Bible tells us that this man was full of faith and power. And that through the agency of faith and power, there were notable exploits that were wrought through him. And that he was not only one who worked miracles. When he had to do with communicating spiritual truth, are we together? He challenged the thoughts of the people, and verse 10, it says they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So we see here that behind the exploits of men in scripture and even in modern history, you find an interplay of faith and power. Please do not forget, we'll be revolving around these two concepts, faith and power. The Bible says, according as his divine power. In fact, it starts by saying, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Are we together? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. The next verse, verse 4 now, it says, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us. So his divine power gave us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. His divine power. Take note of that. His divine power. Amen. Faith and power. The Bible tells us, let me talk a bit about faith. I submit to you that many, many believers talk about faith. And with all due respect, including preachers, they preach on faith. But there are not many people that have really come to understand the Bible's concept of faith. And I'm trusting that as a contribution to our growth, I would introduce a few concepts that will help us in understanding what the Bible calls faith. The faith that walks, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that is responsible for exploits. And for someone, as you lay hold on this concept, you will marvel and wonder at the way your life begins to change. That your life, your ministry, every dimension of your calling will shift to a new level. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. So the Bible tells us, in many instances, four at least, that the just lives by faith. You find that in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, Romans 1:17, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. In all of these expressions, the Bible says the just lives by faith. The just lives by faith. I define faith here as your confidence in God. Take note. Your confidence in God. And this is something I don't want you to brush away. Your confidence in God first, and then the integrity of his word demonstrated by your action of obedience. Your confidence in God, the person God, and then the integrity of his word. Are we together? The foundation of faith is in a person, not a concept, not a principle. Bible faith is founded upon the revelation of a person, not just principles. The Bible says grace and peace is multiplied to you through your knowledge of God. Now, most believers bypass this God part and they begin to have faith in principles. And although the principles are correct, many times they are disappointed because there is a presence that powers the principles. Are we together now? Bible faith is first in God and then the integrity of his word. It is difficult to believe a man's word if you have not had an encounter with such a man. Are we together now? The woman left her fetcher and everything at the well, and she ran to the city and said, come see a man. The people did not care about Jesus, but when they sought her depth of persuasion, which had come from her encounter, the Bible says they came, and when they met Jesus, they said, now we believe. Not just because of what you said, we have met him for ourselves. Hallelujah. I'm amazed that the concept of faith was not so difficult to grasp in the Bible as it is in our day today. And I've tried to read a lot of materials to find out where the missing link is. And really, this is what I have come to share to guide us to close the gaps by the Spirit of God as to why there is such gross faith failure. Such gross faith failure. Sincere confessions, glorious confessions, but very little exploits. Are we together? Who is learning? So that faith has to do with your confidence in God and the integrity of his word demonstrated by your action of obedience. This is very profound. Acts chapter 3, please. Give us from verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 3. I think I've missed something there. John chapter 1. My apologies. John chapter 1 from verse 1. I want to show you something very powerful. We'll begin to connect a few dots here now. I wrote something down here and I want you to listen. Faith is a product of knowledge and understanding. Write that down. Bible faith is a product of knowledge and understanding. First, the knowledge of the word as God, and then the word as kingdom principles. Faith, Bible faith, is a product of knowledge and understanding. First, the knowledge of the word as God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So the word is God. There is God personified as the word. And then there is the word as the principles, the modus operandi, the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And you need both dimensions of knowledge. Now write this down, please. Faith failure, I wrote here, in the believer is largely the absence of light or insufficient light. Faith failure in the believer is largely the absence of light or insufficient light. And then other factors like obedience, impatience, and the rest. In diagnosing the faith failure, the first port of call should not be the issue of obedience or the issue of patience. We have to verify first whether light actually came. Because if light did not arrive in your spirit, then your faith is assumed faith. Faith is a reaction. Something births faith. Are we together now? Light. Faith failure in the believer is largely the absence of light or insufficient light. Go to Matthew chapter 4, please, and verse 4. So Jesus was driven by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the Bible says, and having prayed and fasted for 40 days, the Bible says Satan came to tempt him. Follow the discussion now. Temptation number one, he looked at him and said, "You are hungry." He says, "Turn this stone to bread. Turn this stone to bread." Jesus replies, verse 4. He says, "It is written," please hear me now, "man shall not live by bread alone." So Jesus is talking about living now, and he's showing us a profound formula. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. The word "live" there does not just mean to exist. Please pay attention now. The word "live" does not just mean to exist. It means to excel. Hallelujah. It means to thrive. It means to advance. So when the Bible says there that man shall not live, he's not just talking of breathing in and out. He's saying man to excel, man to rise, man to thrive cannot just be by bread. And you see, the word "bread" there does not just mean a loaf that you eat. Are we together? The word "bread" there means that which is of a natural source. Man does not live by bread alone. That which is man-made and that which is of a natural source. That if you find men excelling, listen carefully, if you find men thriving, if you find men commanding exploits in the spirit, that they have engaged beyond bread, a natural source. When you find someone prospering extraordinarily, his job may be there, but he's not living by bread alone. Bread is that which is of a natural source, but that he has added to his natural source the proceeding word. Is someone learning now? So he's saying that this is how he designed man to live, by bread. Bread can mean anything. Your job, bread can mean your business. Anything that is of a natural source is bread. But he's saying if you live by bread alone, there will be a deficiency in your result. Because man was never designed to live of a natural source alone. Are we together? The character of bread is that after a while, whether you consume it or not, it will rot. Are we together now? Am I right on that? So he says, man does not live by bread alone. As much as bread feeds, he's telling you that it has a limitation. But that if you find a believer who must excel, advance, thrive, command exploits, in addition to the bread, the thing that you do, whatever natural principle you engage, he says that there must be a proceeding word that comes in partnership with whatever you do to provide excellence. You can do ministry by bread and the result will be clear. But when the proceeding word comes upon it, you have not violated the principles, but you can see that there is an extraordinary dimension. You can do ministry by bread, natural source, business principles. Nothing is wrong. The result will be there and the limitations will be there to show. But that there is an extraordinary dimension when that word factor, that word component is introduced to your life, introduced to your ministry. Are we together now? That the results will be clear. So Jesus is giving us an orientation that the saints, man himself, does not live by bread. That means everything that is created by man too cannot live by bread alone. Not your business, not your job, not your marriage, not your children. If you live in the realm of natural principles and the normal course of things alone, I tell you, your life will hardly bring glory to God because there are limitations. Man shall not live by bread alone, by business alone, by your career pursuit alone. He does not neglect bread. Now, the trouble is that the moment you take away bread, because bread sustains you until the word arrives. Are we together now? Before the second word came for Elijah, it was the bread he was eating. Are we together now? He was being fed. And that feeding held him until the word came to give him another direction. God does not take away bread from your life, but he teaches you that the real result is not just in the bread. That bread must come in partnership with the preceding word. Who is understanding me so far? You can line two believers, and by gauging their results in many cases, you can see that one is living by bread alone. And Jesus already warned, don't do ministry by bread alone. Don't do business by bread alone. There are limitations. Relationships are powerful, but men can change. Bread alone. Are we together now? Your job is a powerful means of helping you, but someone out of any kind of sentiment can sack you in one day. Bread alone. Ministry is powerful, but you can have a triumphant entry today and be on your way to the cross tomorrow. Bread alone. A generation that depends on bread alone, over intellectualizing life, a generation that depends on the works of the flesh alone will never bring glory to God. The secret behind exploits is that in addition to bread, you must contend for the preceding word. Who is learning? Now listen. If a man requires the word of God to excel, then everything that man is involved with must also require the word of God for its excelling. Now, you see, the word of God is a very important concept as we are dealing with faith. The ministry of the word is responsible for shaping the spiritual understanding of any man. The ministry of the word produces understanding. The ministry of the word produces conviction. This is the reason why I started by talking about the teaching ministry. Listen, you imagine the things that you have learned in 1 week of Wolfbeck. Some of you, you've had to reset your spiritual life from start again in 1 week. This is the power and the quality of the teaching ministry. It serves you with spiritual understanding, probes into what you believe that your faith is anchored upon. You're going to be learning that believing is not enough. We have to verify what you believe in. Are we together now? You can believe a lie. You believe, but you will still fail. Hallelujah. Faith in any area of need comes when accurate spiritual understanding in that area is established. Please hear me. Faith in any area is only established, not just when you want to see it established, but when accurate spiritual understanding in that area is established. That means I don't need to tell you get faith for finances. If I teach you the principles accurately as designed, at the end of that lecture, I have planted the seed of faith in you. Whether you act upon it or not, faith cometh. And the way it comes is by hearing. That means what you hear and who you listen to is the compass that determines your destiny. Not just the will of God. God can desire that you go right, but your hearing can become a rebel to God's desire for you. Many destinies today are in trouble, not necessarily because of disobedience, because we need to probe the quality of the spiritual information that has formed your conviction. There is a way to do ministry that leads to failure, even if the devil does not exist. There is a way to do business that insists that you must fail. I hope you know that failure too is not automatic. Failure is a reaction. Something plus something equals to failure. So when you fail frequently, it is because of mastery in error or mastery in ignorance. You are engaging a law repeatedly. There is something that you can do that will stop failure from coming. Are we together now? Bible faith, as taught by the fathers, Bible faith, as taught by Jesus, is not just something you claim. It is a product of working upon your spiritual understanding, opening you up to the vast resources of God's word. Are we together? When your mind is transformed, when your spiritual understanding is influenced, then you begin to command results that honor that understanding. Faith failure, therefore, is directly a product, largely a product of inaccurate spiritual understanding or error. Who is learning? The faith problem for many believers is because, now I'm saying this with all due respect, the foundation for the widespread faith failure in Nigeria and in Africa will be traced from person to person, man of God to man of God. It will finally land on the pulpit. This is where the foundation of the failure of the faith of many, that's the root. Something I can tell you, and you will believe because you love me and you trust that I'm teaching you, I can so program you, you can be so fortified with error, you step out of that place with boldness and confidence, only to recycle pain for many years. And for as long as that programming remains, your destiny remains that way. Are we together? It's a sad reality. And as much as I love the body of Christ, I must tell you, you can look at a believer and with a surgical precision, you can diagnose the areas of darkness in his or her life. Especially when the believers are sincere, you can see that if only this man opened himself to a more superior dimension of spiritual understanding, certain tragedies, certain calamities would not even be found around their vicinity. The cure to faithlessness is light. A restoration of accurate communication of spiritual truth. Who is learning? The faith of a man can fail. Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and that when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. This is why the teaching ministry, and I think this is one of my emphasis this morning as I begin my session, that the teaching ministry, with all due respect, thank God for what God has done in Nigeria. Thank God for the many men and women of God, but we have a responsibility for the sake of the body to go back to the drawing board and swallow our pride and begin to re-edit what has constructed our spiritual understanding. Some of us, it came from poor mentorship. Some of us, it came from reading sincere books. Some of us, it came with interacting with familiar spirits. And when we found Christ, we did not allow our minds to be transformed. We incorporated what we brought from culture, mixed everything up, and formed a faith thought around it. The consequence of this ill feeding of the priest is the quality of believers that are presented within a territory. You can literally assess the quality of the teaching priest within a territory. Are we together? By sampling the quality of the spiritual lives of the average believer. For some of you right now, with all due respect, God has brought this Wolfbeck as a deliverance service. While others have been laughing, you've been quiet, crying. So this is what I believed. For 5 years, 6 years, I wrote books honoring this error. I argued with people honoring this error. And I'm about to mentor sons and daughters to be loyal to that error. But thank God for a conference like this. With one communication of truth. You see, no matter how long darkness has been, if you off the bulb in a room for 10 years, if you on that bulb, it will not take 10 years to on. It will on immediately. Are we together? John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. This is very powerful. The teaching ministry. Give us Romans chapter 10, please. From verse 13 and 14, then we jump to 17. Is God speaking to someone? The teaching ministry. We are diagnosing the faith problem. Every time I study the materials of E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, and all these fathers of faith, you find there that the abundance of faith that came from them was because of the abundance of spiritual understanding. I hope you know, when you study history, when the word of faith moved from the 60s down to the 70s, let me tell you what happened. There were two groups of people, even among the word of faith. There were those who tilted towards manifestation and power, and they did not pay so much attention to the word of God. Men like Hagin warned such people and told them, if you do not redirect your spiritual priority, you will not last. You see, when you use the route of the word, it's slower, but it will bring greater stability. For a long time, there will be no charismatism around it. Ministry by the word is slower, but what you build will last. Business by the word is slower. And because we live in a world where we are in a hurry to get things immediately, to get things on time, compromise looks like it brings benefits for a while. And then you find out that you flip to the other side of failure. Let me show you a scripture. Romans chapter 10 from verse 13. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. Read with me. Ready? One, two, go. How shall they call on him? So believing is there now. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So hearing, notice the progression. Believing, hearing. Hearing births believing. And then he says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So a preacher or a teacher births hearing. Hearing births believing. Believing births faith. And faith, if correct, produces the result. So you can test the preacher's work by the final result. Are we together now? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? I want to show you one scripture, and then we'll find somewhere to pray. This blessed me as God opened my eyes preparing my sessions for this conference. Romans chapter 4 again. We are reading 17 and 18. Please pay attention now. Romans chapter 4. Please give us verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed. Listen, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Shout verse 18 if you are a believer. Ready? One, two, go. Who against hope? Stop. So he believed according to that which was spoken. Pay attention. He believed according to that which was spoken. All men believe according to what is spoken. All men believe. The Bible says Abraham believed according to that which was spoken. Listen. You believe unto failure and defeat according to that which is spoken. You believe in into error according to that which is spoken. You believe into limitations according to that which was spoken. You believe into faith and exploits according to that which was spoken. The first fall recorded in scripture, the fall of man, came as a result of something they heard. When God came, question one, where are you? Question two, who told you? Who told you? You have exposed your hearing to an influence that is not me. And your destiny, even in the Garden of Eden, where there were no generational curses, even in the Garden of Eden, where there were no witches and wizards roaming around as far as we know, in the Garden of Eden, that means if all the evil we are praying against still live, many will still fail, because the problem is not entirely Satan. Are we together now? Satan is very flattered when we give him credit for everything that happens in our lives. He's surprised that we are that ignorant to know that he's not that mighty. Are we together? And provided he can keep you into believing that every tragedy in your life is directly traced to him, he has gained an edge with that belief system over you. The Bible says Abraham believed according to that which was spoken. There are people today who have believed unto an excelling life according to that which was spoken. God brought them in company of a teaching priest, and line upon line, their spiritual understanding began to be chiseled until they have become formidable believers, formidable witnesses. There are many people who got born again sincerely, but unfortunately, they found themselves planted around circles and around teaching priests that did not do justice to their spiritual development. And they have become victims today. I submit to you, and I say that as touching the body of Christ with every sense of responsibility. There are people who have died today who should not have died. There are people in poverty today who should not have been poor. What they would have believed to excel, somebody told them it was wrong. There are people today who were preached onto prayerlessness. There are people today who were preached onto lack of fasting for their spiritual growth. There are people today who were preached onto lack of character and moral excellence and holiness. There were people today who were preached onto laziness. It matters what you hear, because the preacher brings the hearing. The hearing brings the believing. The believing will determine whether your faith will work or not. You can believe a lie for many years. You can believe a lie. Establish doctrines around that lie. Who is learning? Praise the name of the Lord. Imagine if there were no conference like Wolfbeck, where God has put together speaker after speaker, bringing dimensions of spiritual reality. Do you know? I'm telling you, when God wants to help a man, he shortens the distance. Reverend Julian, good to see you. God bless you, sir. He shortens the distance between you and a teaching priest he has trained. Are we together now? When God wants to show you mercy, one of the ways that God shows mercy is by introducing men he has accredited to your destiny. Because immediately, when you truly have compassion upon people, teach them beyond giving them. Teaching, the teaching ministry is one of the greatest demonstrations of compassion. When Jesus had compassion upon the people, he began to teach. When you have compassion, giving is wonderful. But the greatest form of giving is to communicate truth, to serve light. I can give you a bag of rice. It's still error carrying it. It will finish and recycle your life again. I can prophesy over you and help your life to gain direction and turn you a slave to me as a man of God. And rejoice over your slavery and call it ministerial exploits. Listen to me. Only a wicked lecturer wants to be tied to his students forever. No. There is a day you are released. He's still, the relationship is still maintained. But he releases you as a testament that he has done a good job. If you must remain a slave indefinitely, something is wrong with what you are hearing. Releasing people does not bring dishonor. If it did, God will not release us. Jesus, after 3.5 years, said, I'm leaving, but I trust what is happening to you. I trust the programming that has come by the word. Are we together now? You saw the sense of urgency. The only way he could trust that the job would be done was, number one, the quality of the word that was invested in the disciples alongside the Spirit. We'll talk about the power dimension. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Faith and power. Faith and power. Listen to me. Did anybody ever tell you that you are wonderfully and fearfully made? Did you believe it? Did anybody ever tell you that you are exalted above all the nations of the earth and that these blessings can come upon you? The simple reason why the woman who was bound for 18 years was healed, it was not necessarily because it was Jesus that prayed for her. There was an information that was not told her for 18 years that kept her. He was never told she was a daughter of Abraham. That missing information kept her in bondage. When Jesus came, he said, no, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who are those who have been mentoring this kind of members? You never told them that there is a blessing that comes. There is an implication to being the seed of Abraham. Who is learning now? There is a mentality that produces victory. And that mentality is a product of the teaching ministry. Are you learning my contemplations now? That if there is a faith failure in your life, it is not an anomaly. It's not a mystery. You can diagnose it with precision. Go back to your belief systems and begin to probe what has constructed your conviction. You will find the missing link there. That you have believed a lie. And a preacher does not have to be fake and forced to teach a lie. Pride produces such results. There is something called the knowing only syndrome. It's found in Acts chapter 18. When you read from verse 24 to 28. I don't have the time to touch there. But my life, God delivered me from this many years ago. Because our pride and our ego can peg a generation at the mercy of what we do not want to know, because it would desire and demand adaptation. There are people today who would rather fail alongside with millions of others than humble themselves for 10 minutes to hear accurate truth that was not captured in their training. The Bible talks about a man who was born at Alexandria. The Bible says he was a mighty man in scripture. He was eloquent. He was mighty in scripture. He came to Ephesus. It's a very popular scripture. And one time, this is how I would always say it. Beware. Listen. And this is, we are not in a pastor's conference, but let me just lend my voice to say this. Always carry this mentality that you are not impressing everybody when you are holding the mic. There are people who have attained an altitude in the spirit. They come with humility and sit quietly in conferences like this, like Aquila and Priscilla, enjoying the investment of God's grace, but seeing the gaps in your own understanding. If you maintain that posture of humility, you will last in ministry. So such a man, mighty, he came for a conference like this, Wolfbeck, and whilst he was shouting, two men in the congregation, they were watching him, Aquila and Priscilla. The Bible says, go to verse 25, please. The Bible says that this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. So he was mentored. He was not a rebel. He was fervent in spirit and spake diligently the things of the Lord. Please read the last line with me. One, two, go. Knowing what? How can a man have all these credentials? And then the Bible ends by saying, knowing only. And in this generation of pride, it's amazing how you can be shouting over something, but it is still knowing only. Knowing only. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. The Bible says, and he, please give it to us, so we find somewhere to pray. Read with me. Ready? Go. One, two, read. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet. Classically speaking, the character of champions is in their hunger to know more. When you see a champion, you see that meekness to learn. An arrival mentality is proof of failure already working in a person. Are we together now? I have learned in life and in ministry that nobody claps for you twice for the same level. Once they clap for you once, you've received the applause that comes. If you don't grow, you will never hear any applause to the glory of God again. Hallelujah. It is the reason why, as a person, I run away from things that, you know, seem to bring a lot of public praise and exaltation. It's just my personality. I give God thanks and I run away. I have so many, I've received so many awards for things, some I don't even know what it's for. They just presented it and I collected it. I honestly don't, because I don't even know the people. Just say, okay, God bless you. And keep it there. I've not even opened some of them. Because I don't see metallic objects beautified. I see swords that can pierce you and can kill you if you don't arrange them well.
Show us the ancient path. Will you lead us along eternal highway? We want to follow the ways of Jesus.
Listen to me. There is a call, and this is the summary of my discussion this afternoon. My call is to two groups of people. Number one, my call, with all due respect, is to the men and the women of God. The next move of God in Nigeria, the next move of God in Africa, is not just dependent on prophecy. It is dependent on the quality of the teaching priests that will shape the spiritual understanding of the average believer in Nigeria, the average believer in Africa. Let me repeat myself again. No matter what prophetic word comes, and there have been many about the moves of God, accurately so, it will fall dead until God is... Let me tell you this. Revivals have no dates. Revivals are ready when the men to be used are ready. Revival can be today, dependent on the preparation of the vessels. Or revival can be a date prolonged, called forever, based on the preparedness or otherwise. Hallelujah. The church in Nigeria is at a very prophetic position. The church in Africa, hallelujah, God is ready to display His glory like never before. But let me tell you this, jumping over prophecies and priding over it will only leave us in pain and disappointment. Intercessors, let me give you a prayer point. Don't just pray Maranatha. Pray for an emergence of teaching priests. Intercessors, don't just pray for healing anointings and signs and wonders. They are wonderful, but they don't establish. It is the word of God. I commend you to God. Acts chapter 20, 32. And to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Who is learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. This is very powerful. The next move of God in Nigeria, please hear me. The next move of God in Africa is not just dependent on prophecies, no matter how accurate, but on the quality of teaching priests that shape the spiritual understanding of the church. Matthew chapter 23, please, and verse 13. Please give us NIV. Can you pray in the spirit in 1 minute? Just 1 minute. Let it be from the depth of your heart. You are receiving an infusion of strength and power to soar. Shalike brante kaparatos kovrisk. Lebrete keveretos kalika branda. In Jesus' name we pray. Please give us that scripture. Hear what Jesus said. Jesus Himself was sad. He was pained. And He said, woe to you. The first set of people who received that rebuke from Jesus were teachers. Woe unto you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. What was their offense? Read with me. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourself do not enter, and you will not let those who enter and are trying to. You see that? That was the offense of teachers. When you say you are a minister of the word and a teacher of the word, there is greater judgment that is coming on you. Because if God trusts you with the loyalty of 10 million people, Gideon needed only 300 men. Do you know how many we are in Nigeria? Someone talk to me. Someone who still loves Nigeria, talk to me. How many are we in this nation? 220. We've added 20 so soon. Now listen. 220 million people, largely professing Christians, largely churchgoers, largely loyal church members. Think the kind of army that can arise. Do you know the teaching priests in this nation are countable? I mean, men and women of God. We are many, but we are countable. If God gathers all of us, we need to kneel down and say, Lord, we are sorry. We are responsible for the decadence that has affected close to 200 million people. When God woke you to learn a dimension that was not captured in your experience, your pride did not allow you to learn it, and you mentored people along the lines of your error and reproduced your error in 1 million people. And now the damage is increasing again. For every time I reject truth, for every time I allow pride to stand on the way, I am destroying the destinies of those connected to me who believe I am hearing God, who believe that everything I teach them will build them. Who is learning? My first call is to men and women of God. We must obtain grace. The days of blind pride is over. Nobody knows everything. Full stop. Did you get me? Nobody knows everything. Full stop. If you're not getting it in an area, quietly come for WAFBEC. Just sit quietly. Sit quietly and learn. Sit quietly and learn. Even if you don't like the preacher, just ignore the face and get the word. That was the formula for receiving honey that Samson taught us. That honey is in a carcass. You have to endure the smell to draw. If you are waiting for the container to always be as right as you want, you will die of hunger. There is honey even in carcass. Out of the many places that the bee can put honey, there were trees, but it went to put honey in a carcass. It's a mystery. And Samson gave a riddle. That riddle is a message to the body of Christ. Out of something strong has come something sweet. That even when that something strong is now dead, are we together? Listen to me. Please hear me. You will never find a perfect church, and you will never find a perfect man of God. Those two things don't exist. Now, it's not a call for carelessness. Don't get me right. I need to balance it quickly and immediately. Are we together now? Quickly and immediately. You won't find that. However, the secret to receiving honey is to endure the smell of the carcass. I know that the church jumps too much, but just endure the childishness and sit down to receive the word. I know that sometimes the preacher does not talk with the kind of intelligence you want. He may not be that vocal, but then just take away the limitations and see the grace behind it. Are we together now? Let me tell you the truth. The more you are willing to adapt and endure two spiritual qualities, you will hasten your journey to transformation. If your ability to adapt and endure is poor, then your transformation will be very slow. Very, very slow. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. There used to be a great man of God, you know. He's gone to be with the Lord. Great man of God that I respect. I listened to him, a great teacher of the word. But there were dimensions he communicated that were very disturbing. And I knew that he would pay the price for those dimensions he did not know. And he sometimes, and respectfully speaking, he arrogantly communicated some of those dimensions. And sometimes I would, you know, when you love somebody and the person is not getting it right, you will feel it in your heart. I said, oh, that this man, where is Aquila and Priscilla? Help this man for me. Somebody appear and tell this man that you have done well in this area, but could you adjust in this area? And the area he ignored was where the devil hit him till he died. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to me. Listen, I want to tell you something and I want you to receive it with all your heart. You must be prepared. This is the second call now to the body of Christ. Be prepared to embrace the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. This is to preachers, but this is also to members. For God's sake, if you're a man of God, be prepared to serve God's people with the whole counsel of God. It is wonderful to teach people how to be spiritually vibrant, but don't forget they have bills to pay. And don't forget that hunger always takes Egypt to Israel. Israel to Egypt. Are we together now? Don't forget that among your members there are leaders, and that poor leaders can destroy society even if they are born again. We must bring in the whole counsel of God. It's the reason why I respect and salute Pastor Poju for the variety of ministers with the various expressions of graces, that if you sit down with all humility and listen, you will receive from everyone. And the goal is to be able to bring together all of the dimensions that are required for your holistic development. Are we together now? Hear me. If the whole world listens to only Joshua Selman, I will create a dangerous error that a generation will pay for it. Because it is not every dimension of God he has shown me. No matter how yielded I am, he will not show me everything. It's called the limitation of the body. He did it intentionally to force us to need and respect one another. Reverend Julian Kula here, I hope you are learning now. Reverend Julian Kula has a Nehemiah anointing. I preach for him every year. When you really want to build systems and organizations business-wise, well, listen to me after you have listened to him. Are we together now? You see, doctors get it right, only preachers fail. Doctors will tell you, I'm a consultant pediatrician. I'm a consultant surgeon. The nature of this thing, I cannot hurt you because of my ego. I refer you to a department or a ward. It doesn't stop the person from being a consultant. It's only in the church that we rather the person die because you don't carry the healing anointing. Listen, why am I turning this to a pastor's conference? Pastor, would you forgive me? Forgive me. Listen. Let me tell you this. Never trivialize a dimension that is not working in your life. No. Just because it is not working in your life does not mean you should trivialize it. Your heart must be open to receive. I came from the north. Listen to me. And I thank God for my background with the evangelicals and the Anglican. It gave the foundation for moral excellence and a modest approach to ministry. However, as God began to build me and the call of God came upon my life, I saw a deficiency. Are we together? That there were certain dimensions that we were not privileged to enjoy as far as the ministry within the North is concerned. I would have remained there in pride. And that effect would have been widespread today. I hope you know that almost every error starts from pride, because the Spirit of God is always there to caution, always there to check balance. But the Spirit of God does not wrestle with man indefinitely. Let me tell you how God works with men. When a man walks perpetually in error, God begins to help correct you for the sake of your life. When he finds out that error is affecting other people, he will work on you and call other people to work on you. If he finds out that you have maintained a state of rebellion, he will leave you and transfer your bishopric to another and start another work. So you will find out that the motions of ministry is there, but the grace has left. Are we together now? The day David was anointed, Saul still sat on his throne. Yet the anointing had come on David. Are we together now? My prayer for you is that nobody here will be replaced. In the name of Jesus Christ. So my call to men and women of God, there is a clarion call. It is time to look beyond ourselves, our ego, our ministry, what I have, what I do not have. Let us love the body of Christ more than our reputation. And let us be comfortable with the fact that, number one, God cannot use one man alone. It is the body of Christ. Imagine the body of Christ without Pastor Poju. Imagine the body of Christ without Wolfbeck. Imagine the body of Christ without Reverend Julian. Are we together now? When you have that orientation, and you see, let me tell you this. I don't know why God has decided to. I will ask for forgiveness before I sit down. Are we together? Members, stop joining the heads of men of God. Stop it. It is affecting the pace of God's program. There are people who pride in just joining the heads of people and they watch it like a movie and rejoice at the expense of their own spiritual growth. By the time you come and begin to sing and say, Saul killed 1,000 and David killed 10,000, what do you think Saul would do to David? By the time you say, I am for Paul and I am for Apollos, forgetting that only God brings the increase. Are we together? I love the work God has given me, but I love the body of Christ better. The growth of the body is more preferred than the growth of my own work. Is someone learning? So the call, I'm diagnosing that the faith problem has come largely from the pulpit, and that men of God, it is time for us to take responsibility. I am convinced that 1 year under a structured teaching ministry should be able to build a believer to a level of commendable stature where you defy being tossed to and fro. Any man of God that has at least 2 years of structured mentorship with members and cannot produce quality believers should go for a retreat. It's not an insult, it's the truth. Even if that man of God is called Joshua Selman. So that we don't rejoice over Wolfbeck and then the meeting is over and then our lives remain only to come back 2026. I forbid that over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. That a man of God receives inspiration from this and goes back to say, you know what? I'm tired of buying designers. Let me go to a library and buy some old books. And sit down and say, what did the father see? When they traveled to Tulsa, Oklahoma, what did God show them there? Open my eyes, oh God. Let me see something and carry genuine grace that can serve my generation light. Serve my generation light. Serve my generation light. That in 1 year, we will raise an army of robust believers, people of stature, that when they ask the person and say, okay, what you are a pastor of what church? You say, no, I'm not a pastor, but I'm a witness. I have been trained that my journey starts from being an unbeliever to an infant to a matured believer, a transformed believer, an empowered believer, and then a witness. And I have gone through that curriculum in the spirit. Are we together? We must begin to bring the various dimensions of the kingdom required. The Bible says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, look at the character that ushered the next move of God. They were together in one accord. One accord does not mean saying the same thing. One accord means agreeing in spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. When we call for unity, unity does not mean embracing anything. Are we together now? But to understand that if there is a deficiency in my life, if I'm raising people who are anointed, I'm raising people who are spiritual, but they are poor and broke, they are doing bad, they are in trouble. Are we together? Marriages are breaking because of financial issues. There is a grace invested in Reverend Julian. If I can add to the dimension God has given me, the dimension God has given him, it will bring completion. Can I tell you? When God says everything is possible, it is because of the variety of light he has invested in the body. It is not possible with one ministry. It is not possible with one man. But together, it is possible. So, Pastor Poju plus Reverend Julian plus the men and the women who have served God's grace here will produce a more holistic believer. When the devil wants to destroy your life, he makes you to ignore the investment of God's grace that has been placed upon one especially for your growth. Hallelujah. My final call, my time is up. I hope someone has learned something. Believers must invest in building their spiritual understanding. Please hear me. The faith problem cannot be solved by superstition. The faith problem cannot be solved just by claiming. There is the business of exposing yourself as an act of responsibility to strategic teachings that build you. You see, you have a Bible like a student has a textbook. But there is a need for a teacher. Nobody becomes a doctor just by reading a book. You can become a traditional practitioner. But you don't become accredited just like... You will need to be helped and to be trained. Are we together? Believers must invest. In fact, say this after me as loud as you can. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to invest in my spiritual understanding. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to probe my spiritual convictions. Say it again. I receive grace to probe my spiritual convictions. Hear me. I'm wrapping up. If you are poor, don't throw away the issue of prosperity. You are not getting it. Humble yourself. Find the carriers of light in that area. Go to them that sell and buy. Buy with meekness. Buy with humility. Add prosperity to a ministry with integrity. And it's like adding petrol to fire. You will burn better. Are we together now? If you are lacking in character and you are prayerful, find one who has had the word that can bring holiness and stability. Receive it with humility. Diagnose the areas of failure in your life and search for light bearers in that area. Do it fast. Remedy the mistake so that you don't transfer that error to others. Father, if you are doing well at home, don't blame Nigeria. There are people in Nigeria who are excelling. Are we together now? Go back and find the word that produces light. Faith for anything comes where the light in that area comes. Whatever is missing in your life, stop wasting your time sweeping when there is no light. Your first assignment is to light a candle. And when that candle is lit, get a broom and start searching. You will find that treasure there. Are you ready to pray? My call for you is that you begin to press. Man of God, press. Spend more time with God than ministrations. Press. Buy books. Get teachings. I know you sat down here listening to Wolfbeck Live, but if I were you, after the conference, get the teachings, especially the ones that relate to the area of concern. Camp around it. Faith comes by hearing. When you find the voice that speaks well, then hear well. The hearing that brings awareness, the hearing that brings conviction. Man of God, it is time for the next level in your life. It is time for the next level of your journey in the spirit. It's time for you to soar, but nobody soars in ignorance. You will not enter the plane of a pilot who does not know what he's doing. You can understand listen, whether or not a plane lifts, the laws of aerodynamics still stand. But it takes the understanding of the pilot to fly it, not the existence of the laws. The laws are always there, even when a plane is grounded. The laws don't change. It is the understanding of the pilot that translates those laws to become results that take the plane to the air. Are we together? Even if you fail with your life, God is still faithful. But the dimension of spiritual reality you lack can affect every aspect of your life. Can I learn 1 minute from us as we pray? Please rise up on your feet. You come to a point of persuasion by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. I'm tired of guessing my walk with God. I'm tired of guessing how to win in ministry. I'm tired of guessing how to do business to excel. I'm tired of guessing how to walk in power and walk in the anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an ancient path. We are not the first to follow that path. Many have followed that path. They followed it unto grace, unto glory. Ordinary men, unassuming people, they followed a path of light. It was light that guided the magi, the wise men, until they found Jesus. They did not know the place, but they saw that light, and the light guided them. The light of God can guide a man into a dimension in the spirit, a dimension of exploit. Are you still waiting for me to give you a prayer point, or are you crying unto the Lord? We have just 1 minute. Please let it be from the depth of your heart. I desire light. I desire light. I cry out my desperation for the other dimensions that are still wanting in my life. I want to manifest Bible faith. I want to be fully persuaded, fully persuaded, fully persuaded that God can heal, fully persuaded that God lifts, fully persuaded that doors can open, fully persuaded that I am the lifted of the Lord, fully persuaded that He has died for my sins and I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm tired of moving left and right, dependent on what message is preached. I receive grace for stability. Someone pray. Fully persuaded that my God is able. Fully persuaded that I am the righteous and so it is well with me. Fully persuaded that though my beginning be small, my latter end shall greatly increase. Fully persuaded that the works of my hands are blessed. Fully persuaded that the Holy Spirit is guiding me. Fully persuaded that I'm a well-watered garden. Fully persuaded. Someone pray. I shake the spirit of doubt. It's time to command results. Time to command results. Exploits by the Spirit. Worshippers pray. Exploits by the Spirit. I am fully persuaded that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty makes men of understanding. I am fully persuaded that the two lift gates of every nation is open unto me.